We have been on a journey here the last few weeks. Well, all of this year, we have been on this one journey to look at the land that God said, I'm going to give you this land. And I know that it's in Exodus 23, 23. So we started out 2023. With Exodus 23 on my 23rd year of ministry. So it's 23, 23, 23. And we've been on this journey to look at this verse and to dive into it. And I had someone tell me, you've used this verse for like 6 or 7 weeks. There's 31,104 verses in the Bible. We're going to be a while if we do go at this pace. But this verse has really caught me this year. It's really caught me. It said God wants to take us to a new level. Every morning when I get up and I put my cross in my pocket, I know, oh, sovereign Lord, you are my strength. You make my feet like the feet of a deer. You make me stand on my high places. Habakkuk 3:19. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to enable us to stand on high places, not just any old high place, our high places. The ones personally and corporately, we have high places to stand on. And the Lord says, come on, I want to give you more than you have. There's more for you than you have. And I'm going to take you into the promised land, is what he's telling the Israelites. But in that promised land, you're going to face some opposition. You're going to face some spirits of different negativity or wickedness that you're going to have to deal with. But I'm giving you the land. The land needs you. The land needs you, but you're going to have to deal with these attitudes in this land. And I'm going to do something with those attitudes, but make sure you don't partner with those attitudes. And he says this, my angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the land of the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will wipe them out because it's not their land. It's your land. I'm giving it to you. So I'm going to take those situations, take those enemies, take those attitudes, and I'm going to do away with them. But make sure, again, make sure you're not partnering with that attitude. And we have been on this journey and we're at the Jebusites today. We're at this final spirit of the Jebusites that has to be dealt with in the land that we're being given by God. The Jebusite means use, pollute, and set aside. That's the attitude, the spirit of the Jebusite. And I said the first week of this year, that's really the spirit that falls upon maybe perhaps a drug dealer, or falls upon those that use and abuse and kind of set aside the Jebusites. He said, don't partner with that. The use means a means to my end. And I call that the PTE, the paper towel effect. People aren't in this land for to be used as your paper towel. They're not to clean up your messes. They're not just to sop up your stuff, just so you can do your stuff and you can throw them away. That's an attitude that you need to have victory over. That's not what I want you to do in the land, to treat people like paper towel. You can't use people. I'm not putting you in the land to be used, to use people. If I wanted people to be used, I'd leave the Jebusites there. It's not what I want to happen in the land. I don't want you to use people like paper towel. I don't want you to pollute people. I don't want you to smack them with your dirty towel. I don't want you to smack them with your dirty towel and carry your dirty towel around all the time and your bad attitude and you're speaking life, death into people's lives and you're messing with people and you think they're there just to vent your anger on. That's not why people are in the land. They don't need somebody that can just vent on them or give them a piece of my mind. How many times do you got to do that before you lose your mind? Said you got a spirit of pollution. You got a spirit of vileness coming out. If I wanted that to happen in the land, again, I'd have left the Jebusites in that land. If But that's not what I want to happen in the land. And then I call that the dirty towel effect, the DTE. And then I set aside or walk by, and I call that the G-Y-O-T-E, get your own towel effect. Who am I to worry about you? Okay, you don't want, I'm not going to use you as a paper towel. You don't want my dirty towel. The heck with you then. I'll just walk by you. Get your own towel effect. And God says, if I wanted people to get their own towel, I wouldn't put you in the land. I'll leave the Jebusites there. But I want you to do something. And I'm going to do something with the Jebusites. That spirit of the Jebusite. I want to do something so because this land has more to it than what the Jebusite spirit is bringing into it. And I'm going to put you there, my children. I'm going to put you there, my daughter. I'm going to put you there, my son. I'm going to put you there. But don't partner with the Jebusite spirit because people aren't here just so you can use them or vet on them or walk by them. The Jebusite spirit is alive and well in our world. We don't need to look very far to say, that's a Jebusite spirit. But the problem is, sometimes I tend to fall into that. You talk to me like, oh yeah? And God says, that's not what I want you to do. You're more than that. You're more than that attitude. The Jebusite spirit is alive and well in our world. So what do we do? So what do we do? And Jesus says this in Matthew 20, 25. He says this. And he's talking to the disciples. And I find it very interesting that he's talking to the disciples. Because earlier in that chapter, the disciples, the one's mom is saying, hey, can my son be number two in command? Can he sit next to you, one on one side and one on the other side in your kingdom? And Jesus said, you've got to be kidding me. They want to know who was going to be the boss. They want to know who gets to make the call. They want to know who gets to bark the orders. That's what they were wondering. And Jesus called them together. I can just imagine this meeting. Come here. We're going to huddle up here for a minute. And he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They're very similar to a Jebusite spirit. You already know that that's in our land. Right? You already know that the Gentile or the people that are in this land, the Gentile, lord it over them, the thems, and their high officials exercise authority over them. They lord it over them. They exercise authority. They use people. They pollute people. They walk by people. They can't do something for them. No use to me. You already know that that's in our land. You already know, you can see it day in and day out. Jesus said that is a reality in our world. But look what he says in verse 26. Not so with you. Not so with you. I can just see him just smacking Peter. Not so with you, James. Not so with you. It's different in my kingdom. It's different in my... I brought you into this land because you're going to be different. I've chosen you because you are different. If we didn't need difference, we'd let the Gentiles run the show. But I'm going to raise up the church. I'm going to raise up the church, and the church is going to make a big difference. They're not going to lord it over them. It's not so with you. It's not the way it is in your world. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant or your minister, must minister to people. And whoever wants to wants to be first must be the slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I didn't come here to get a golden throne that I could sit on and have people bring me stuff and just pile stuff in my storehouse. That's not why I come, and that's not why I'm calling you. To use people, to vent on people, or to walk by people. Just so you know, I'm not doing any of that, Jesus said. I came here to be involved in people's lives. J. Jesus is clearly saying that the Jebusite spirit is alive in our world, but it's not part of who he is. And if we're going to minister to people and we're going to walk with Jesus, if we're going to walk with Jesus, then it's not part of our life either. Not to use people, not to pollute people, or not to walk by people. Jesus said, there'll be none of that in my kingdom. Even the least of these, I will walk up to. Even whoever it is, I'm going to walk into their life. I am not here to set up an earthly kingdom, and you are not part of an earthly kingdom. You're bigger than that. And I brought you into the land because the Jebusite spirit, the Gentile spirit, wasn't getting it done. And nor can it. I brought my kingdom into this kingdom so that you can make a difference in the people's lives that you're running up against. That's why I got the church here. So, Lord, how do I minister? How do I minister to? How do I minister to people? How do I meet people in their great times of need? How do I not treat people like paper towel? How do I not vent on people? How do I not just walk by people? It's just, frankly, it's easier. And well, you probably can spend some time with Jesus, and it probably would have been a little easier if he just stayed in heaven. And it might be just easier if you stay inside. It might be just easier if you stay in your own cocoon. But if you're walking with Jesus, it's not a cocoon faith. It's not an indoor faith. It's not an indoor journey. It's an external journey. And God said, I brought you into this community. I brought you into this land. I brought you into this situation. I brought you into this family. I brought you into here because you're going to make a difference. You're going to minister to people. You're going to meet people at their some of them at their roughest hour. And you're going to walk with them through that rough hour. Lord, how do I minister to the people around me? That's where the question I got. That's where I spent some time with Jesus this week. I said, how am I going to minister to the people around me? He said, there's some things you need to remember. And he took me to Psalm 139. We've been to Psalm 139 many times. And how many times have I assigned this to people that are struggling in life? And how many times have I sat down with people and we went through this over and over and over? Just a powerful truth that is portrayed in Psalm 139. And the Lord took me there this week and he said, this is what I want you to do. You asked the question. Now will you just shut up a minute so I can talk with you? See, I have that problem. When I say, hey, Jesus, what's up? What do you need to say to me? And he said, whoa. Apparently nothing. Because you just yak and 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 yak. He said, go to Psalm 139, and this is where he said, he took me. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. God is very involved in my life. God is very involved in my life. He knows when I sit and when I rise, and he knows when I'm in struggling, and he knows when I'm not struggling, and he's familiar with all my ways, and he knows when I lay down, and he discerns my thoughts from afar. That doesn't mean he's far away. That means in the future, he already knows what I'm thinking. In the future, he knows those things. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Oh, Yahweh, you hem me in behind and before you lay your hand upon me. You are working in my life. And many times when, and this is, we've shared this before, I am active in your life. That's what God's saying there. But guess what? Push the button. He's also saying this. I am active in their life too. He said, you know Psalm 139 as far as it has to do with you, but you know that I am active in their life too. The person that I'm going to run you by, the person that is in your life, the coworker that you have, do you know that I am active in their life too? Do you know I know their thoughts as well? I had a great time with Will McDowell the other day transferring the boat. And no, I'm not becoming a boater. But we're talking about his mom. And it's talking about how special that I felt around Miss Pinky. And how she treated me, I think, at times like her own son at different times. And Will said one of the most powerful things that I've ever, perhaps ever heard said. And he says, don't take this as anything but very positive. But she treated everyone that way. And God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully. I know the works. I know you, but I know them too. I know them too. And I'm active in their life too. I didn't send you into their life to be a Jebusite. I sent you into their life because I am active in their life. It continues like this. Psalm 139 continues like this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I can't even. God is active in everyone's life equally. Don't take this the wrong way. You're very special to him, but so is the guy next to you. And he didn't bring the guy next to you, so you could paper towel him. Am I making sense today? And I didn't bring him into your life so you could spew your dirty towel junk on him. I brought him into your life because I'm working in his life too. Boom. Verse 7 and 10 says this, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I am meeting with you. I am stabilizing you, and I will bring you home. Push the button. I am meeting with you, and I am stabilizing you, and I am bringing you home. Just so you know, I copied that completely off another message I preached a few years ago. Complete rerun, the top statement. And God says, I know you know the top statement, but I wonder if you know the bottom statement. I know you know that I'm stabilizing you. I know you know that I'm meeting with you. I know you know that I'm bringing you closer to me, closer to home. But I wonder, do you know that I'm doing that to the person through the drive-thru at McDonald's? It's not whether I know statement one. And there's like seven statements. The top seven statements are exactly copied off a message I preached 2 years ago. But it's not about us right now. It's about the people we're with. It's about the land. I am stabilizing them. I am meeting with them. I am stabilizing them, and I am bringing them home. Verses 11 and 12 says this, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will be night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day. For darkness is light to you. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about how God's in your darkness. He doesn't wait for your darkness to get cleared. He kind of snuggles right up with you, right in that junk that you're in. He'll get right in that junk with you. And from inside that junk, he'll say, we can do this. I'm not going to wait out here for you. I'm going to get in with you. I'm in your junk. I'm in your darkness. From inside your darkness, we're going to do business here. But guess what? Push the button. Guess what? I am in your darkness. I am in their darkness too. And maybe I'm sending you into their life because their darkness needs to be known by someone who is walking with me, not someone with a Jebusite spirit, but someone with the Spirit of the living God, the heart of Jesus walking into their life to know that the Father is in their darkness too. Woo. For you created my inmost being, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Top statement, rerun. Push the button. I created you. I knitted you together. You are amazing. Guess what? I created them. I knitted them together. They are amazing. You should see them how I see them. We sing the song, Give Me Your Eyes, for just 1 second. Because that's about all I can handle it. We should change the song, Give Me Your Eyes, for just 1 month. We're always microwave people. But if I could only see, and this is where God challenged me, if you could only see that I knitted them together, that I created them, that they are amazing, if you only could see them like I see them, you wouldn't be so tempted to treat them with a Jebusite spirit. You wouldn't be so tempted to treat them like a person on the phone. Just get it done. Just answer my question. Just solve my problem. What is wrong with you? God said, really? Do you know who they are? Do you know how amazing I created them? And all you can do is spit on the phone. All the days ordained for me, it says in verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book, and before one of them came into being. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them, exclamation point, which is, woo, in New Life. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I have a unique and special plan for your life, completely copied from 2 years ago. New statement, I have a unique and special plan for their life too. You want to be a part of that? If only you would slay, verse 19 says, if you only would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men! They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for those things that stand in opposition to God. I will give you victory, and I will give them victory for their over their sin as well. Are you with me this morning? Because the next few weeks, and we're just going to tip it off here in a little bit in a few minutes, the next few weeks we're going to talk about the land. What the potential is of the land. If we can just get victory over the attitudes of the enemy that's in our land. I will give them victory over their sin, and I will give you victory and them victory. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way that lasts forever. I'd like a sheet of plywood that would last forever, no matter where you put it. I just want to slide it like out of my trailer and bolt it down and it would never go away. Zero chance that's going to happen. And God says, I'm going to do things in your life that are never going to go away. They're going to ripple from you
into your son, into your grandchildren. Generation after generation, from the father to the son, from the son to friend.
I will continue to love you and work in your life no matter what you do. And guess what? I will continue to walk, love and walk in their life no matter what they do too. So the thems, do we know who the thems are? The people, the land dwellers, that we've been brought into the community. We've been brought into East Freedom. We've been brought into Roaring Spring. We've been brought into Hollidaysburg. We've been brought into our community, not to use our community like a piece of paper towel, or not to violate it with a dirty towel, or to walk by it without having an impact. But God has planted us here for a reason, because we own the land. And there are thems in the land. And the thems are the ones that I am active in their life, and I am meeting them, and I am stabilizing them, and I am bringing them home, and I am in their darkness, and I created them, and I knitted them together, and I think they are amazing. I have a plan for their life. That's why you're there. I will give them victory over their sin. I will continue to love them, and I will continue to work in their life. Or you can be a Jebusite. But if Jebusites and Gentiles could get it done, we wouldn't need the church. The thems are the person next to you. The thems are the waiter or the waitress in the restaurant. Do you know the most important thing may not be how full your coffee cup is? Just risking it here. But that waitress or waiter, God's doing them work in their life. And he's brought them to your table, not so they could be paper toweled, not so they could be violated, not so they could not be cared about. He brought them to our table, your table, because they live in your land that's been given you. The person at work, the person at the store, the person that is working on your car, the person at the drive-thru, the person ahead of you in traffic. I left that one out a couple times. That's how I do too well. It's like, God, they don't even know. And I'm just like yelling at them. They don't really know. Does that bother? And the clear answer was, it bothers me. Do you know that the thems in our land, and this is just, let me kick this off for the weeks to come. 8 out of 10 of the thems do not know Jesus in our land. Do you know that? Do you know that 5 out of 10 hate their job? Do you know 7 out of 10 are disappointed with their life? Do you know 4 out of 10 are single parents trying to get it done? Do you know 7 out of 10 are in troubled marriages? Do you know 3 in 10 are in an abusive situation right now today? They're being abused. Do you know that 1 out of 10 are grieving the loss of a recent loved one right now? I'm just telling us right now, those people, those thems that God has us in the land don't need this. They need the heart of Jesus. You know, 5 out of 10 are walking with someone that's in the addiction. You know, 4 out of 10 are struggling financially as we speak. They don't even know if they can put food on the table. Well, if you would just have a budget, if you would just do it right, and if you would not spend money over here, to use it, thank you very much. There's a lot of thems.
And sometimes I'm of them. Sometimes I'm grieving. Sometimes I'm struggling. And just so you know, I don't need a dirty towel. I need someone with the heart of Jesus. So do you. Jesus says this in Matthew. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What? He said they don't light lamps and then put it under something you can't see the light. You are that light. I put you in this land. You're going to have victory over the wickedness or the spirits that are trying to run ramshod through our community. But you're the light of the world, and don't put your light under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Why? That they may see your good deeds. Why? And praise your Father in heaven. Woo! That's good stuff. That's why we're in the land. That's why we're in the land. Because we're the light of the world. In Jesus' name, we reject the Jebusite spirit. No more paper towel on people. No more dirty towels. No more thinking you're going to get your own towel. The church is in the neighborhood. That's us.
Amen.
How about a new life? You're the best team going. I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl today. And frankly, once the Bills lost, I don't really care. I'm still sour about that a little bit. I did tell my neighbor I would root for the Eagles because I didn't want him grouchy. The best team in the world is the church.
Amen.
And we're rocking it. And God's taken us. Oh, sovereign Lord, you are our strength. You make our feet like the feet of a deer. You make us stand on our high places. In Jesus' name, receive it.
Ooh.
Will you stand with me today? Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you made this day, but not so with you.
I wish you could see me now.
So, Lord, we look at you eye to eye, and we hear you say, not so with you, Ed. Not so with you, Joe. Not so with you, Tobin. Not so with you, Mike. Not so with you, Joe. Not so with you, Kyle. It's not so with you. You're different. You're different. You are my church. You are the light of the world. So, Father, help us to embrace the Spirit of the living God, the heart of Jesus. And reject the Jebusite spirit and the spirit of the Gentiles. Take us, Lord. Take us to those places you want us to be. And help us to see the people as you see them. Father, thank you for this moment together. Father, here we go. We released our worship. We released the Word of God. And now we're releasing the church into the land that you are giving us. Father, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing day.